Blog Talk Radio.
Say 1, 2, 3. Hello?
Anointed one,
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus. No one like you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made, and we will continue to rejoice and be glad. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to learn more about you, learn your word. But it's not just enough to learn about you. It's not just enough to know about you. But Lord, we desire to know you. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see your face. We thank you, O God, that we do understand. God, your heart is the Father. Your face is the Son. Your voice is the Holy Spirit. And your hands are us, the church. We thank you, Lord, for that revelation and that understanding. And as we seek to know more of you and more about you, we thank you, Lord, that you are moving us closer to you so we can know you. We thank you, Lord, for every family on this call, every person, individually, and then their families as well. We pray for every family, oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the highs and the lows. You know the joys and the heartbreaks. But you sent the comforter. Comfort those who are grieving, to comfort those who are in trouble, to comfort those that are backed against the wall. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name today, O God, as we learn more of thee, O God. We thank you, Lord, for revealing to ourselves our strengths and our weaknesses. We thank you, O God, for showing us up and showing us you. As we go through these classes on today, oh God, continue to unfold your word. Continue to bless us. Continue to bless our families. And we give you the praise, and we give you the honor, and we give you the glory. And we thank you, Lord, for spiritual authority to bind the enemy, to tread on serpents and scorpions. Satan, we curse you from the roof and command you to be bound in Jesus' name. Lord God, we thank you for the harvest on the seed sown tonight. 30, 60, 100 folies, 1,000 fold increase of blessing. And we decree and declare your signs, miracles, blessings, and hallelujah, miracles upon your people tonight. And the entire class says,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Peaches, if he would do the roll call, please.
Hallelujah.
Internet Harris?
Here.
Internet James?
Here.
Adrian Scott?
Stevenson?
Phoebe getting the house.
Cynthia Thompson?
Here.
Harry
Warsaw.
Yeah. Praise God. As you hear, we have a new student in the camp. Hallelujah. God bless you, Brother Harry. Hallelujah. We thank God for all of you. As you know, our reading assignment was chapter 3. And Pastor Peaches, I think that's page 20, 39?
31.
Okay, I'm looking for 39. I'm going to give you a home assignment. Reading assignment is to read chapter 4 for next week. There's a home assignment.
Page 41.
Where's page 41?
It's chapter 4.
Okay, now, the home assignment is found on page 39. That's the application activities. I think there are three of them.
Uh-huh.
Your home assignment is to do one of those. You choose. So it's in your book. I don't even have to say it. It's in your book. That's on page 39. Is that correct, Pastor Peaches?
Yes.
Yes.
Application activities. There are three of those. Pick, you choose which one you want to do as your home assignment for next week.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Bless the Lord. Thank the Lord.
This to be passed in?
Beg your pardon?
This to be passed in?
Yes, it's to be passed in.
We get pick one.
And the syllabus to be passed in.
All right, want to make sure.
All right, well, that's a good question. Is that a proper Cynthia?
No.
Who is that?
That was Peter.
Okay, God bless you. All right, thank you. Yes, that's to be passed in. Some kind of way.
Just pick one, right?
Just one of the three. Don't do all three. I mean, if you want to do more than one, that's extra credit. But I'm asking, the home assignment is just one. And I'm glad I said that. Those that come in for morning worship, make sure you mention who you are so Pastor Peaches can record. Because you get extra credit for being in morning worship. And, of course, it's obvious if you come to service on Sunday that you're here and you get extra credit for that. You get 5 points for coming to service and 1 point for the morning worship each time you're on morning worship. So you can accumulate a whole lot of points. And that's going to help you with maybe a low grade or an assignment that you didn't turn in or you weren't able to complete or whatever.
That's it. It's 5 points for morning worship and 1 point for the early.
5 points for the coming to live service. And this is in your syllabus.
Right.
It's in your syllabus. 1 point
okay.
for attending morning worship at 7. And we do that 7 days a week. And y'all have the number that's in the that's also in the syllabus. Because it's the same number that you used to get on this call today. All right. Without any further ado, we're going to go into chapter 3. And Pastor Peter, what is the title of chapter 3?
The title of chapter 3 is
The Church is Bold,
Making Disciples.
Interesting, isn't it? There's a role for us in making disciples. And what I want to do now, we could do a volunteer thing. We're gonna read this chapter together, two paragraphs. Somebody will volunteer read two paragraphs, and then when you finish the second, every time you finish the paragraph, you say end the paragraph. And then when you finish two paragraphs, then the next person will pick up and read two paragraphs. So we could read the whole chapter together. Now, here's something else. If there's a question at the end of a paragraph, that's why I want you to say end the paragraph. If there's a question about that particular paragraph or anything that was, then you can say your name. And so I can get can identify you or because you're gonna get grades. You're gonna get graded for class participation too. So you gotta say your name, and remember that there's a 7 second delay. So I may be talking and you may say your name, but I won't hear it for 7 seconds. So So excuse my dust. Excuse that. All right. Who would like to be the first reader? I think the first two paragraphs on page 31.
Yes.
Okay.
Sister,
who would like to be the first reader?
Sister Angie.
All right, Sister Angie, go ahead.
Okay. Chapter 3, the church's role in making disciples. People grow and develop most effectively within healthy relationships and communities. Just as infants need close relationships with their mother, father, and extended family members, so young followers of Christ need nutrient relationships within their church family. In this chapter, we will investigate the role that the local church and the worldwide network of churches play in the disciple-making process. End of the first paragraph.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, go to the next one.
The Great Commission and the Church. At first glance, one might presume the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18 and 20, was directed to the 11 apostles rather than the church. After all, the church was not even established when the challenge to make disciples of all nations was given. We learn in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, however, that just before they were given this instruction, they were told not to do anything until the Holy Spirit came upon them. The initial command to make disciples was given to the 11 disciples, but the power that activated the Great Commission
activated
the Great Commission came to the whole church on the day of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
As the mystery of the nature of the church is revealed by the New Testament writers, it becomes clear that the Great Commission was given not simply to individuals, but to communities of believers.
It's in the second paragraph.
All right. There are two things I need to discuss real quickly. First of all, one of our class members had a loss in their family. And right now, I need to take just a moment to pray again for their family. Peace and the love of God and the manifest blessings of the Lord over them. I don't know if they want us to mention their name or whomever, but I'm going to pray right now. Father God, we thank you. We ask that you would bless the family.
In the name of Jesus.
The bereaved family, oh God.
Hallelujah.
We strengthen them, Lord, that you would take them through this.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh God, you are a great God.
Yes, you are, Jesus.
You feel what we feel.
You see
what we go through, Lord.
Thank you.
And we thank you, Lord, for strengthening us for the journey, Lord.
Yes, Lord, strengthen
us.
In the name of
building us up, oh God.
In the name of
building them up, oh God.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Let your will be done in their lives,
oh God.
Hallelujah. Hold their hands, oh God. Hallelujah. Build them up on the weak side, Lord. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
I didn't share the name because I didn't feel the liberty to do so unless they talked to me and told me I could do that. So that's why I prayed the way I did. Is that all right with y'all?
Amen.
Yes.
All right. Another thing. You notice in Acts 1 and 4, we need to read that. And somebody get open up the Bible.
Hallelujah.
And read Acts 1 and 4. Because it's important for you to understand this way that. Because a lot of people come to the Lord. And they come in, they get saved, and they run out, and they try to make disciples of other folk right away. But there's a little problem with that. Okay, somebody said amen. Can you read that scripture?
Acts 1 and 4?
Yes, Acts 1 and 4.
It says, that and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saying, he ye hath heard of me. That's four. And five says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Okay, great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because if we know what Acts 1 and 8 says, you know, we see power. But you have to understand that. You have to have the Holy Spirit in order to disciple other people. If you walk through, the Holy Spirit draws you to Christ, but there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit that gives you not just a drenching of the Spirit, but boldness and power and anointing. And you are slightly out of order. If you don't have that and you try to get somebody to follow you, well, if you haven't gone all the way, if you haven't received that special anointing, that comforter, that spirit of truth, that all of that, if you haven't received that in a major way, you know, we can get sprinkled anytime. You know, you go out and you get a little, there's a little, what do you call it? When it's raining just a little bit, a
little shower.
Shower, a little drizzle. But sometimes you get in the bathtub, get immersed in the Holy Spirit. Because there is power, anointing, and blessings and gifts that the Holy Spirit gives you that will enable you to go out and be not destroyed because you're going out. Well, you know, you can go to the SJKD today. First Corinthians chapter 12 tells you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So you can't go out here trying to do stuff. You want what I got, but you ain't got everything yet. Well, you may slip up, and I've seen situations where people, they were on drugs, and they got saved, and they ran back out to the drug pen. You try to witness to them. And they went out without the power. And they were pulled back into the scene. So that you may want to highlight that part in that chapter there. Hallelujah. All right, the next reading, the next two paragraphs, if you would.
I'll read, AJ.
Okay. Go ahead.
It says, terminology related to the word of disciples that emerged from the 1960s through the 1980s, then camouflaged the role of the church in making disciples of Christ. To make disciples, or more commonly, two disciples, has often been used almost exclusively in reference to a one-on-one or small group ministry. Without diminishing the value of these significant ministries within the church and community, they must not overshadow the ministry of the church as a whole. To view the biblical command to the to make disciples only through the lens of mentoring in small groups is to miss the major role at an intergenerational local church community as in fulfilling the Great Commission without minimizing the role individual Christians play in this process, as we will explore in chapter 7. We must see their role as only a part of the mission given by a large church community.
The Lord.
And that's the end of the chapter.
Okay, hold on just a second. As you can see, it's not just a one-man operation, discipleship. God didn't call Lone Rangers.
It's another paragraph, not the end of that chapter.
That wasn't the end of that chapter?
No, it's another paragraph. I'm sorry.
Oh, it was the end of that paragraph. End of that paragraph. Okay, I wanted you to stop at the end of each paragraph because there's a question concerning that paragraph. I want to give people a chance to ask it while it's fresh in their mind instead of reading.
Well, that's the second paragraph, so it's another reader because I've read
you read two paragraphs.
I have another paragraph to read.
Okay. Okay. Any questions?
Let me read it.
About what was just read.
I have to read my second paragraph.
Okay. Just hold on just a second. You needed to say, and I think the Clintons were the ones that said it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to disciple. It takes a church, in other words, to disciple someone, not just one individual. God didn't send you out to be a lone ranger. Although you can do pretty stage anywhere. But it's best that you go in groups. You go with at least one other person. Because what's good to do is also maybe not good not for you to do. And sometimes the enemy will set you up so he can bump you off. So you want to be wise.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Okay, read that second paragraph.
Okay, it says, when Jesus gave apostles the Great Commission, the only command in the original language was to make disciples. The other three verbs, go and baptizing and teaching, participles related to the major command. Examine the text in the light of the grammatical structures just mentioned and above and observe how significant the command to make disciples is to the Great Commission. Jesus challenged his 11 disciples, his 11 apostles to make disciples of himself, not the apostles of Peter or Matthew or John. The commission Jesus gave the 11 men who had spent the last 3 years following him was to make people into followers of Jesus Christ. And that's the end of that chapter.
Praise God. Again, you know, our job as Christians, of course, seen in 2 Corinthians 5:17, talks about we are ministers of reconciliation. That's our job, to duplicate ourselves.
Yes.
We have been reconciled with Christ. We're supposed to make, we're supposed to help others to be reconciled with God. And so, but we do that with wisdom, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we let the Holy Spirit lead us in what we're doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need another reader.
Cynthia Thompson. The church as the body of Christ. When Paul wrote about the nature, the natural of the church in Ephesians, he described it as the body of Christ, Ephesians 1:23. Just as Christ natured his disciples while he was on earth, so Christ's body, the church, was to make his disciples after Pentecost. It is logically to presume the church as Christ's body, where he would have the authority to make disciples. The church as community is the catalyst to encourage believers to grow towards spiritual maturity as they fulfill the Great Commission. That's the end of that paragraph.
All right. Second any paragraph. Questions or comments on that paragraph, anybody? All right, you can go to the next one.
Next paragraph. The Holy Spirit role in the church. The primary fact that initially the Great Commission in the early churches was the Holy Spirit. Before issuing the Great Commission, Jesus spent a great deal of time teaching about the role of the Holy Spirit would play in their lives of the followers. After he left, John 4:16, Jesus strategically timed this teaching just prior to his arrest and crucifixion to show us how important the Holy Spirit was. Jesus strategically timed his teaching just prior to his arrest and crucifixion to show us how important the Holy Spirit role would be in the growth of the church once the physically departed. In one of the last meals together, Jesus commanded his disciples to wait until the Holy Spirit would come before doing anything. The power presents the gift of the Holy Spirit given to the church, enabled the small band of disciples to accomplish an even broadened ministry of discipleship. Then Jesus himself, John 4:12, while Jesus was on earth, his impact was limited to the scope of his personal ministry and the investment he made in training others. He ex-plan involved something more than even his close disciples could form. That's the end of that paragraph. Phantom. I'm sorry. That's the end of that paragraph.
Praise God. Any questions or concerns? Any comments? Again, the role of discipleship, the operation of making disciples is a church role. It's a fellowship role. It's not just one person, although that's good. You know, like I said, you got the Holy Ghost. You and the Holy Ghost are a majority, and there's an opportunity that presents itself. You know, you flow with the Spirit of the living God. Let the Spirit of the Lord direct you, not the spirit of your emotions, not anything that is rooted and grounded in the flesh, but let the Spirit of the living God direct you so that mm-hmm. you will not fall into any kind of traps. And so you'll be able to glorify God, and you'll be able to say, well, you know, God did it, not me. God did it. The Holy Spirit drew them because the Holy Spirit is in you. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Again, you're out of order if you try to disciple someone without the Holy Spirit, because that's your power. Mm-hmm. That's your anointing. That's your guide. That's your comforter. That's the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Excuse me, Stevenson.
Yes.
It seems you open yourself up for a lot of danger from Satan if you go beyond what you're trained to do. If the Holy Spirit has not trained you and seasoned you, he will gobble you up and spit you out. That's a danger.
That is so true. There were in Acts, it talked about seven sons of Sceva who tried to do what Paul or Peter, no, it was Peter, or some of the other disciples were doing. But they didn't have the Spirit of the living God. And so they tried to command something to happen, and I'm not sure the scripture, I'm seeing 21, but I don't know. I have to really check on that. But what happened, they tried to pray for somebody, and that demon, the evil spirit that was in that person, jumped out of that person, jumped on them, and they ran naked from, you know, they got whipped up.
That's right.
You can't do this thing in your flesh. Again, no. But what to do is not necessarily good for you to do. Oh,
Lord. So, Pastor, can I share something?
Yes.
I just saw a picture in my head. When someone first, when they begin to go to a gym, you may send little dumbbells. Because that's what you, because you're a beginner. You're just walking in. You don't walk in lifting them 2,500-pound them long weights. And you have to, you, it's just like your body has to, you have to, for somebody lifting weights, your body has to be built up to it. Your muscles have to be trained and get in shape, and it's up to be able to lift the heavy stuff. And it's the same way when you first get saved, you don't go out into and try to conquer them great big demons. You know, you need the Word. You need the Holy Spirit,
yes,
and everything, and being built up and taught how to handle them big demons. And it's like going into a gym.
Amen.
You don't start lifting them long weights that you see the men with the weight, the strap around the belt, and them lifting them long dumbbells with the great big weights on the end. I just saw that picture in my head.
Oh, thank you, Pastor.
Good picture.
Hello.
Good.
Yes, you know, it's very important for you to understand. That's why Jesus said, well, look here, I'm going away, but I'm going to give you some gifts. And the gifts are for, that's it, which you gave it, Ephesians 4, 11, 12, 13, for the perfecting of the saints. Why? The maturing of the saints. For what? For the work of the ministry, and then for the edifying, the building up the support, the encouragement of the body of Christ.
Hallelujah.
So we got to be in order. We can't be long range doing our own thing.
Mm.
Amen.
You're going to get yourself in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or damage.
Y'all need to tune in to the message on tomorrow. I got to end. Because it's going to be, what kind of soldier are you? Mm. Tomorrow's message, hallelujah. Y'all need to check it out. But anyway, that's the end of our class today. Y'all can continue to read and kind of study chapter 3 and then read the reading for next class in chapter 4. And also the home assignment is chapter 39, page 39. Which refers to chapter 3, pick one of the application activities. There's only three of them. You choose one that you want to be your home assignment. Hallelujah. Then you follow the protocol for doing home assignment. God bless you. Father God, we do thank you for what our ears have heard and our hearts have felt. We thank you, Lord, for this class. Hallelujah. Going towards spiritual maturity. And, Father God, we want to grow. And we're not comparing ourselves with anybody but ourselves and with what your word says, Lord. We want to be more like you every day. So we praise your name. We glorify your name. And, again, we pray for every family represented, oh, God. Meet the needs of every family in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you. We praise your name. We glorify your name. And the class said,
Amen.
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 You got about 5 minutes before the next class will start, so you can get some water, eat a T-bone steak. No, that's a little bit too fast. But whatever you do, you have a few minutes before the next class starts. God bless you.
That sounds good. T-bone.
Faster.
Yes.
Faster. That's scripture in Ephesians. A scripture in Ephesians you were given, trying to give.
Ephesians, the fourth chapter, I think it's 11, 12, and 13. Specifically 12, I think. 4:12.
For the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and edifying the body of Christ.
Edifying means building up, supporting, encouragement. Work of the ministry, uh-huh. Self-explanatory for all the work of the ministry. Make disciples, hallelujah, go ahead, thank God, and more. And, of course, the perfecting, the maturing of the saints. So,
Is that what you was looking for, though?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Yes, that was it. Great. God bless you. You got about 5 minutes before the next class starts at vocabulary development. Hallelujah. That's going to be fun, y'all. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
So I'm in class right now. I'll call you once I'm out of
class. Holy anointed one,
your word is a lamp to my feet. Your first assignment
But tell them your office hours.
I forgot what my whole office hours is.
Oh, it's
only for
it,
one.
It is an
Friday,
Tuesday, 4. Yes. It's only one office hour. Pastor has, I think his office hours are much more extended than mine. Okay. And I would like to share with you what your first home assignment is since we're on this part. Okay, your first home assignment will be the meaning of the word disciple, the meaning of the word apostle, and the meaning of your first name. Okay? Or the closest name to your first name. Let me see. If we are calling you by your middle name and your first name is in the, that is what we want you to look up, your first name. You can look in the Oxford Dictionary, the Dictionary of the English Language. Look in the Oxford Dictionary of the English Language. You may be even able to pull it up on the internet. You may have to go to the library. Every library has an Oxford Dictionary. You may even be able to go online, but look up the meaning of your first name.
Meaning of your first.
Okay. Your term project. Select any 25 words from the Holy Bible, King James Version. Define them and use them in a complete sentence. This will let me know that you understand the meaning of that word. And in that sentence, I'm sorry, someone have a question?
Yeah,
in that sentence, please underline the word in the sentence.
Can you repeat all of that? I didn't get none of it.
excuse me, Angie. You have your syllabus in front of you?
Yes.
The third one.
Term project.
Yes. I'm going through the one for vocabulary development. And it's on the first page of the one for vocabulary development, it's almost in the middle of it. It says term project, and it says select any 25 words. Most everybody have a King James Version Bible, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Everybody find a King James, KJB Bible. Define them and use them in a complete sentence. Whatever word you choose, please number each word and then underline it when the word appears in your project. And this isn't due until November 22nd. Here is an example how it should look. Disciple, a personal follower of a teacher, philosopher, or in particular of Jesus. John was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And also, please make a note of this. Put the book, the chapter, and verse from where you took the word from.
The chapter.
Yes. Yes. You can put that at the end of your sentence. Where you took that word from, out of the scripture.
Pastor Peaches, may I add something real quick?
Yes, sir.
when you're notating a scripture from the Bible, you can put either number one, don't abbreviate the book of the Bible. Write it completely out. Then you do the chapter. You don't write the word chapter. You just say Galatians, there's chapter 5. You put 5:22. And then you can put a period at the end of that. But that's how you notate a scripture from the Bible. The name of the book, and then you put the actual chapter comes first, and then colon, that's two dots above one another, and then you put the verse, and then you can put a period behind that. And that notates, that's a notation, biblical notation. Okay. Don't write the word chapter out or the word verse out. That's unnecessary. All right. Thank you, Pastor Peter.
Excuse me. So you're saying, like, we're writing the word, like, Galatians, the whole writing all of that out?
Yes, yes.
Galatians, because we're not, okay, write the whole, like, okay.
And then Galatians 5:22 would be Galatians space 5:22, period.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And please, everyone, follow the format.
No.
For home assignments and term project. And on to where it says term project, you had in the middle of your page, of your cover sheet, there was a term project, vocabulary development 201, your name, and the date. And each page afterwards, please put the number, your page name, your name, the date, the page number in the upper right-hand corner of the following pages. And staple it on the left-hand side of it so I'll be able to flip them from right to left. I'll be able to flip them up. All minds and hearts clear. Please pay attention to your spelling. Please pay attention to punctuation. Okay, please number your pages. Standard punctuation and spelling will be accepted. Assignments will be considered late if received after the final due date. Extra credit points may be added to your final grade or make up for missed assignments. If you have trouble turning in anything, please do not wait until the last moment to share. Something may be, we may need to work together, somebody may be able to carpool, get them to one person and get them to another to get your papers in on time. I would hate for someone to have a paper, and then you have to use all your extra points, thank God for the extra points, to make up a grade when you already have a paper that has already have an A paper. Try to save those extra points for the very end, just in case you fall short at the very end. You may need those extra points, you know, and it's good to have them. I don't know if everyone knows how to use the Strong's Concordance, but I want everybody to Pastor, was this something you were going to do Go over to Shawnton Corner. How do you?
Okay, I can do that if you like for me to do that.
I was just asking you where are you going to? Because I was getting ready to do it.
You can do it if you want. If you decide you're the teacher, so I'm at your beck and call.
The Strong Concordance has every word that you would need to look up in the Bible. You may know a scripture, but you can only get one little phrase of that scripture. And you can, I know it has the word chastisement in it, but oh my gosh, I don't. And you may be trying to share something with somebody. And you don't know the address, so it's good to know the addresses. But does everybody have their Strong's Concordance? No, I'm not even going to ask. Look up the word, because it's one of your textbooks for the class. So therefore, before you start class, have all of your textbooks, when you come to class, have all your textbooks with you. We're going to look up the word chastisement. We're all going to look up the word chastisement. And we're going to share with you how to use this Strong's Concordance. You may already know, but since I don't know what y'all know, we're going to go through it. Okay, chastisement, C-H-A-S. Let's just go through the word chastise. C-H-A-S. T-I-S-E.
Chastisement is there.
Pardon me?
I said chastisement is there.
I know. I don't want that word. Chastise is the word I want. I want y'all to look at chastise. C-H-A-S-T-I-S-E. And it is on page 161 in your Strong Concordance. Now, at the very end of the first one, it says Leviticus 26:28. I will, that C stands for the word, chastise you 7 times for your sins. And it says H-32:56. Your Strong's Concordance is divided into a Hebrew part, a Greek part, and a part just for common words, an appendix. Okay? So in the back, since the H stands for Hebrew, we'll turn to the Hebrew. Don't forget the word, this number behind the H, 3256.
Uh-huh.
And you'll turn to the Hebrew part in the back of your Strong's Concordance. 3256. And in front of each one, since this is Hebrew, you have everything's going to begin with the H, but look for the 3256. Person find it, let me know what page you found it on. Let me know that you found it. If you need me to go over the instructions again, let me know.
Go over the instructions again, please.
Okay, towards the Strong's Concordance, there are some sections in the back. The words and the Bible are all in the front. And sometimes you may want to look up to find part of a scripture or a word. And now the word we looked up was chastise. And right beside chastise, at the end of that was H-32-56. In the back of your Strong's Concordance, you'll see three little black squares or black spaces, black lines on your pages. And the H-E-B, that stands for where you'll find your Hebrew words. And chastise, 3256, will be on page H-5256 is on page 1509. Everybody have it?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Go to the back of your Strong's Concordance, page 1509. And that's where
we're going to find chastise. When y'all find it, say amen. Oh, I found it.
Amen.
Repeat. All right, 1579.
In the back of the Strong's
computer. Okay. And you can put under H?
Yes. And it's right. It's going to begin with H. H3256. Uh-huh. And it's on the third column from the center of the book. It's in column number 3.
Yes.
Yes. 3256. And I believe that's the spelling how it will be written in the Hebrew. Then that's the spelling. And then there's the root. There's the definition. A primitive root to chastise, literally, in parentheses it says, with blows, or figuratively, with words. And you know, chastise, when your parent chastise, even something you done screwed up, you done did something wrong, you know, with words, or somebody hitting you, chastising, hitting you, okay? Hence, to instruct, and here's all the synonyms, what they, the word you can use for chastise, to bind, chasten, chastise, correct, instruct, punish, reform, reprove, soar.
Yeah.
And these are synonyms for chastise. This is how, now, you may even have a word that, that's how you would find, you would look up a word that ends in, when you're looking, when you're in your Strong Concordance, and the end of that line has a H. So let's look up a word in the Greek. Turn back up to the front. Turn to page 3. Oh, wait a minute. Was there any questions? Did I confuse anybody?
No, we got you.
Okay. Turn to page 319 in the Strong Concordance. Flip back up to the front. Turn to page 319.
Okay.
We're looking at the word enter. E-N-T-E-R.
Oh. 19. Okay. Enter.
Everybody with us?
At the bottom page, bottom of the page on the left-hand side.
That is the word E-N-T-E-R. But we're going to look up a scripture in the Greek, okay?
Yeah.
Look, let's look in the third column where it says Luke 7:6, that thou shouldest enter under my roof. What's that number beside that?
G1525.
Okay. Because the word, when you're looking for a word, it will, in a Strong's Concordance, it will be, it will be from wherever that word is found in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Every scripture in the Bible where that word is, you will find it here. So therefore, we are looking in Luke.
Looking in what?
We're looking at Luke 7:6. Right, and that's in the third column, and it says that thou shouldest enter under my roof. And it's G1525 in the Greek. We are looking this up in the Greek now, in Greek dictionary.
Oh.
We're going, pull up the pages in the back. We're going not Hebrew, but the Greek. The last section in the Strong's Concordance, 1525. When y'all find it, let me know. And all the ones in the Greek will start with G and then the number. That's at the end of your... Luther 15:25. Let me know when you find it.
Amen.
All right.
It's on 16:21.
What'd you say, AJ?
16:21.
21, it's at the bottom.
Okay.
Yeah. At the bottom.
Is anybody, is everybody clear? Anybody confused? We need to walk through it again?
I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry, Brother Harry.
Would you go through it again? I've gotten lost a bit.
Okay, can I share something real quick?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Let me just share this with you. The Old Testament, written in Hebrew or Aramaic, meant in Hebrew. Okay. And the New Testament, written in Greek. Okay. Now, the Strong's Concordance, the three major portions of the Strong's Concordance, you have the concordance part. Then you have the meaning of the dictionary, the Hebrew dictionary, and the Greek dictionary. The Greek dictionary is going to be the last section in the Strong's Concordance. And the Hebrew is going to be in front of that. So the last two sections in the Strong's Concordance is the Hebrew dictionary and the Greek dictionary. Okay. There are certain scriptures. I can't remember that scripture right now. That had the word power about two times in the same scripture. But if you look up the words, you find out that there's a different meaning for power, the first power, and another meaning for the second power. That's why it's very beneficial to have a tool like the Strong's Concordance. Because you can look at both of them and you can see that one may maybe mean dudamus and other may mean something else. So that's why I think you did a good job, Pastor Peaches, in sharing that. But Brother Harry wants to hear it again, so go ahead. You can share it again.
Okay. Let's go through the word power. I don't know what part I may have confused you, Brother Harry, but looking at the word power, if there's a word, let's say you was reading a scripture on the word power, P-O-W-E-R, and you, or let's say you're thinking about, I know it's a scripture and it has the word power in it, but I don't know where the scripture is. Okay, and your Strong's Concordance. You can use the Strong's Concordance to find that scripture. Okay, we looked up the word power, which is on page 886. Every scripture in the Bible where that word is used is in the Strong's Concordance. In the Old Testament, all of them, your scripture, where that word is found is from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. It's in this book, okay? So let's say the first time the word power is used is in Genesis 31:6. You have your Strong's Concordance in front of you, Harry?
Yeah.
Okay, turn to page 886.
Yes.
Okay, and the word power is in the middle column, P-O-W-E-R, and the first line, Genesis 31, verse 6, and it says, and you know that with all my power I have. And behind that is H3581. In the back of your Strong's Concordance, you have a Hebrew dictionary and a Greek dictionary. Them little black spots in the back of your dictionary where you see on the edges of your paper. The second one is where you'll find your Hebrew words. Let's all look and find H3581. H3581.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
15, 16. 3581. Okay, and every word is numbered. And 3581 is on page 15, 14, 1514 in the Hebrew section. And it's in the third column and going all the way down. And you have to keep saying the number to yourself, 3581, 3581. It takes you all the way down. There's H3581, and you'll see the Hebrew spelling and the definition. You still with me, Harry?
Yes.
Okay, you see it?
Yes.
Okay. That's how, and it says, core. From an unused root, using the meaning to be firm, bigger, literally, with literal meaning, forced into a good or a bad sense, or figuratively, capacity, means, produce. Also, from its hardness, a large lizard, ability, able, chameleon, force, fruit, might, power, powerful, strength, substance, wealth. Okay, that is how you will find a word, and even a better understanding of a word. And you also, this is where you also can find synonyms. So therefore, when you're even writing a paper, if you're even writing a paper, and you have to use this word more than one time. This is one way to find other words that you can use in that same sentence or the same paper or paragraph without using the same word over and over and over again. Because this one word has a lot of meanings.
This is Katie.
Yes.
I'm really beginning to understand how this really can impregnate your writing, vocabulary.
Yes.
Different, like you said, you can use it in different ways, one word, synonyms, and it makes your paper or your reading more valuable because of the words that you're able to use because it's upgraded vocabulary words, really.
Uh-huh.
It sounds small on paper, really.
And because your paper will seem real redundant if you're talking about power through the whole paper and you're using the word power, all over again. But you don't have to. When you know a whole lot of synonyms that mean the same thing, you can change, you use that word power one time. But you're using other synonyms through your paper. And it really, if somebody will read it, wow. And by the time they finish, they really know what the word power means.
Okay.
And you're really expounding on the word power, and you're really letting somebody know, wow, by the time they finish reading something, they have in their own self, in their own mind, so many definitions of that one word that they may not have even thought about themselves. So, therefore, and y'all don't have to wait until y'all get to class. You know what? Sometimes when you're sitting down or up late at night or early in the morning or whatever, open up your Strong Concordance. Or if you, after you've looked up a scripture or whatever, go through that scripture. Open up the Bible. Pick out a word. And then open up your Strong Concordance. And see where that word originated from, or other scriptures, or even other words that mean the same thing. And this will even help you, even when you're witnessing to somebody. And they'll really think you deep. But, I mean, it's just stuff that's, I mean, just found in the Strong Concordance. But it will really make a paper, you really have a well-developed paper when you're able to use synonyms for the words that instead of having to repeat the same word over and over and over again.
Yes,
sir. Does someone have a question?
Yeah, I did. Now, repeat again what the homework is. You're choosing 25 words of your choosing, right?
That's a term project.
That's the term project.
Yes, that's the term project. That's what
you
do on November 22nd.
But you know, because I said home or something, that's your term project.
I mean term project.
Uh-huh.
Where you choose 5 words.
Mm-hmm.
And you do what we just did in the Strong. Is that right? Is that right?
Yeah. Whatever way you want to get the definition, the Strong course, the concordance of your Bible that you have or whatever, but the kind of I should let you be the talking.
You can use this book to be as a resource. Use your Strong Concordance as a resource, but you can look up your words wherever. If you may have a Bible dictionary, you may have another dictionary. You can find your word, but whatever is going to help you give a clear understanding of that word, because you have to use that word in a sentence. And then you're going to write down the scriptures of where you found that word.
Okay, got you.
Okay. I will look up the words in the King James Version.
Pastor Peter,
Were you going to say something else, Kibby?
No,
Devin.
Oh, okay. Disciple and apostle part of the term project?
What'd you say, Cynthia?
The word disciple and apostle, the meanings of those two words, are they part of the term project?
That's the homework.
You select the 25 words.
No.
That's the homework for tonight.
Okay. It's due in 2 weeks, right?
Yes.
Yes. Meaning of the disciples' name.
And your
disciples, apostle, and your name. And you can find that in the Oxford Dictionary of the English Language where you find your name.
And can I share something, Pat Speeches?
Yes, sir.
You need to look up both of those. Use the Oxford Dictionary for all of that. The Oxford Dictionary of the English Language is the number one dictionary in the world for the English language. And all libraries have at least the abridged cut, which is about 12 inches thick. The unabridged is about 8 or 9 volumes. So if it's not in there, it ain't a word unless it's a very new word, as far as the English language is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be able to access the Oxford Dictionary on the Internet. But what I wanted to share earlier was that a word in the Old Testament may not mean the same, even though it's the same word, it may mean a totally different thing than the New Testament. So that's why it's important to have something like the Strong's Concordance, so that you can find out the word and what it means, what it meant in the Old Testament and what it means in the New Testament. That's all for me, Pastor Peter.
Okay.
Thank you for letting me share.
Is everyone clear? Is there anything that I said that confused anybody? Is everybody clear? Do you have any questions? Is there anything I can help anybody with? Do I need to go over anything else? If I call your name and ask you, I'm not trying to embarrass or anything. I just want to make sure I made myself clear. I didn't confuse you. And something else, everyone, I would like to ask this question. If there was something that I missed or a pastor missed in class, would it be okay to send it out in a mass text? You don't have to, I don't want you to answer in a mass text, but can we send a message out in a mass text to everyone? Is there anybody that does not want to be on a mass text, or you would prefer that you are called to give a message to?
No, that's fine.
Fine with me.
Okay.
Fine with me.
There's three. Angie, you still here? Angie? Okay, Brother Harry?
Okay.
Angie? Okay, I'll call and answer, because I don't want to, some people don't like mass text, and there's something that was on me last week I wanted to ask, but I didn't. Just to, if I was to get, I need to get a message to y'all. Anything. Instead of calling everybody, you know, singly, I'll be able to get it out there all at one time. But when you go to answer me, you can, you don't answer in the mass text, because you may not want anybody to know what you're saying. Or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay, I just want to know. Thank you so much. Okay, all hearts and minds clear?
Yes.
Thank you so much for your participation, and thank you so much for being in class tonight, and thank you so much for everything.
Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Be patient with us. I still have dust.
you want to close them out in prayer?
Me too. Oh, my God. Excuse my dust.
You close your class out in prayer.
Hallelujah. Father God, we praise you. Lord God, you are worthy of all the honor, of all the praise. We thank you, Lord God, for every opportunity that you have given us to learn more of you. Father God, every time we think we know you, Lord God, you show us something else. And we just praise you, God. You're worthy of all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Lord God, bless every student that was on the call. Bless everyone, Lord God, that wasn't able to be here tonight. And the ones, Lord God, that may even be listening, not able to be in the class. Lord God, we ask you to be with them all tonight. Lord God, we know that the word of God is sown on good ground. Bless us all, Lord God, as we learn more of you, as we better equip ourselves, Lord God, to be vessels of honor, as we more equip ourselves, Lord God, to be able to give out the word of God, Lord God, to our family, to our friends, to people that we may witness to. Lord God, we just want you to use us even the more. Bless, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Bless the rest of the evening. Bless everyone, Lord God, hallelujah, as they sit down and study your word. Continue to open up your word, Lord God, and understanding to us, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the homes. Bless every family that's represented, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we praise you and we worship you, and allow us to join, Lord God, together the next time upon it. In Jesus' name, Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see the glory of the King, and I love you, the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see the glory of the King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. May God bless you. Long life, good health, and prosperity. May the blessings of Almighty God accompany you every minute of every day. And may the favor of God in your life. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of the King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the I can see in you the glory of the King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. I pray for your family. Bless you to God and your family. And your children. May the good Lord protect and keep them.
I can see.
Keep protecting from the evil.
The glory of the King.
And I really bless you with the blessings of the Lord.
Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see the glory of the King, and I love you with the love of the Lord.
Yes, I thank you. May God bless you. Yes, I thank you.
Oh, the Lord. Yes, I bless you. Oh, the blessing of the Lord. I can see.
God loves you. We love you too. And there's nothing you can do about it. Have a blessed week. Hallelujah.